hot.
Minnesota is so hot.
Chad Greenway, main man, what brings you out?
Well, it's the last day off season. Hadn't been over here yet to see the guys and see all the guys you played with a few months ago.
Got Ben Lieber here.
Ben texted me, he said to come.
Yep. But yeah, he was listening and like, oh, shoot, Lieber's there? I got to go.
Right? It's alumni day. There's free food.
Oh, nice.
And it's the last day. Like, how do you miss it?
Yeah, I brought this up with Ben earlier. For players, a day like this, off-season workouts, organized team activities, a mandatory minicamp, I mean, you got some cash in the bank, you got some time, you got the 4th of July around the corner, you got families. How great is a day like this?
It's the best day. The last day is the best day. And I think the biggest thing you look to is, like, these guys got like 6 weeks, essentially, 6-7 weeks to go into
the offseason. Well, Ben said 2.5. He said after 4th of July, it needs to crank up.
Well, there's a ramp up, sure. Yeah. But, you get your workout in before, you know, by 11, by 12, whatever it is. You still have all afternoon to go do what you want. Essentially, it's like the off season. So you want to go hit the lake up. You want to go do whatever, sit at the pool.
Yeah.
You have plenty of time. But this is like the crowning day of the off season to get finished with this, knowing you have a big open window of time now before you have to go to Mankato. And essentially, once you get your workouts in, do what you want.
Did you have any sense of anxiety when you got over here?
I think once I pulled up, it was like, you know, when you're away, like I'm away, like I have stuff going on with the kids or whatever.
And, of course,
and now I get here, it's like you just love like the energy from the guys in the field and practice. It's just like it's kind of, I don't know, it just takes you over. But I don't miss being out there playing. I just miss, you know, naturally just being around your teammates and buddies.
You know what the difference is the coaches actually smile when they see you
now. Exactly.
As opposed to like kind of looking at you sideways, like, I can't wait to rip you when we get in a team meeting.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm not thinking about the mistake I made on the third play of practice like 3 days ago. You know, it's like that's what, you know, athletes, we take the things we do wrong and we never forget about them like for months. I remember the mistakes I made during the season last year, and it's all you think about. And it's one of those things where you get out here now, it's like nothing to worry about.
Nothing to worry about.
They can't yell at me
for
anything.
They were running a linebacker drill. You walked into practice right in the middle of the drill.
Yeah, I didn't really feel like I needed to stay out of it. I just felt like I needed to go in there and be a part of it. I mean, come on.
If it's training camp, do you do the same thing?
Probably. I mean, I don't know, until they stop me, I guess, you know, in a couple of years when they're like, who the hell is this guy out here, you know, like walking around.
A couple of your kids, Kendricks and Barr, what were they like when they saw you?
Oh, just giddy, excited, you know, like they have to miss my presence in the meeting room when I can just like cut through the bullshit of what the coach is saying, like just give you like the experienced answer.
Yeah, right.
I can just go and like
definitely
tell them,
an experienced
tell
answer
them how
there.
It is. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, is there kids listening? It's summer, I guess. Sorry.
I don't think so that falls in the wrong bucket.
I thought we just told the truth on here.
Right.
Yeah, that's probably more for a podcast.
Chad Greenway stopped by the exclusive Wilf Perch at Winter Park, final day of Vikings minicamp, which has come to a conclusion. So just viewing it from afar with soccer and foundations and everything you do, what do you think of the squad right now?
I think they look great. I mean, coming out here today, I've been reading up on everything that's been going on in the off season, kind of the ups and downs. You know, Edmund Robinson had a big day one of minicamp, and, you know, great to see that. Now to come out here and see him moving around, you know, I haven't seen, you know, Dalvin Cook, and now I see him today. It's like, you know, the kid's got some juice. Great to see.
How can you tell that in minicamp?
Well, it is obviously hard to tell, but when you see the run plays they're running and you see him make that decision, right, it's all about making that decision and going.
Yep.
And when he hits it, you know, he's got that gear that, you know, just few guys get. I think the one thing that I see with him is it's you plant your foot in the ground and you get north and south and you get the yards you can get, not trying to hit every home run. And he's obviously got the cuts.
So from your perspective, you know, being a first-round draft pick as well, what sort of advice, if you were to sit down with Dalvin today and say, all right, you're going into your first, like, break. You've come here. You've been indoctrinated. You know everybody. You know what's going on now. Now you're going to take a break. What sort of advice would you give him leading up to the season, knowing that he probably has a lot of expectations on him? Right?
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing is you need to be prepared. You need to come into the training camp fully prepared. So he needs to push these next 6 weeks and know that physically he's at the peak of where he needs to be. Take that out of the equation now. Physically, I know I'm ready. Now, obviously, take all the things you've learned from the scheme. Obviously, you're going to grow that in training camp, but you have a base knowledge now of what you need to do and what your role is, your responsibilities are. So go over those. Come into training camp ahead of the game. Obviously, you've come into the offseason. Now make it work for you going into the season. Now when you go out there and start playing, it's just going to happen for you. It's going to be natural. Then those cuts, the things we're seeing, can just become second nature, and he can just go play rather than think and worry about what's my assignment and be a step slow. You know, just go let his physical abilities take over because clearly he has them.
Are you at safety weight right now?
A little bit, a slow safety weight. Yeah, slow safety.
Really?
Cut some weight down.
Yeah.
Feel great. My golf swing is good now. Like, everything's, you know, feeling great.
So. How do you, now that you're retired, how do you eat? Is it any different than the way you ate before?
My wife doesn't really let me eat bad.
Why?
I guess is the best way. Well, because I have four kids,
yeah,
and they need to eat
but
healthy.
But you can be fat dad for a minute.
Nah, I mean, I try to. My body, like, eats itself. I don't know. I try to get fat, and, like, it just, like, starts eating itself, and now
that's
I get
an art,
lean again.
Eating yourself.
It is.
Lucky.
Yeah.
Everything I eat, it just falls off.
I don't know where it goes.
I mean, I can't help but be lean.
Yeah, just the genetics. It's just great.
Nordo has a linebacker-related question for you.
Go for it.
Yeah, talking about Edmund Robinson and who's going to replace number 52.
Nobody.
Ben Gettian. No, an option. He can never truly replace what you've brought us. But
right.
Ben Gettian, do we know anything about him and your thoughts?
Just I'm seeing him move around a little bit today, which was not a lot, to be honest with you. So I know what Emmanuel and obviously what Edmund can do. You know, I think when you see those guys, they're sort of the type of athletes you only come across in professional sports. Where you look at them like, how are they this long? How are they this tall?
Yeah.
How do they have this much physical ability? Oh, they weigh 245 pounds and can move like that. It's just, it's ridiculous. And even as a veteran in the NFL, coming back and seeing them, it's like, those guys are just freaks. And I think Edmund's biggest thing was, can he play with enough confidence and know what he's doing to go out and let the ability take over? And rather than think, you know, making adjustments on the fly, emotion, you know, changes your role, changes your drop and coverage, changes your run fill. Can I make all those adjustments in my head on the fly on second and four when you got to make the decision and go make the play? So, you know, that's the thing he struggled with in the last couple of years, just because he's young and experienced, had to play a lot of linebacker. Emmanuel's more of a veteran, but he's also less. He's going to play less physical than Edmund is. Edmund's got more of a physical presence in the box. The position that I played was you're asked to take on, you know, you're going to take on fullbacks. You're going to play on the tight end. You're going to have to be physical. But also, you have to cover tight ends. So those guys are both good enough to do that. I think it's going to be a great challenge in training camp. I don't see any of the other guys, honestly. I haven't seen them enough to really make a decision, but I don't see anybody else overtaking them unless they got some pretty crazy physical abilities.
Yeah.
There's two guys that I want to ask you about, and we talk about them, but maybe not on as far as an A-level type of superstars, but going to have big impacts on this team. Mackenzie Alexander.
Yeah, huge.
I'd like to know from your standpoint, being with him, what he brings to the table and how competitive that spot's going to be at nickel. And number two, a guy that I hear about a lot from some other players is the respect level is Shamar Stephen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So talking about Mackenzie first. You know, Mackenzie's one of these guys. He comes as a rookie. He kind of has that, I have an ego. I'm in the NFL. I come from this great college program. I've done all and accomplished all these things. And then sort of the reality hits you of, wait, I'm in the NFL and everybody's good now. Right, and I can't take plays off. I have to know what I'm doing every snap. I have to know where my help is. I have to know how to leverage a receiver. I have to know where I can push the receiver in a certain coverage, right? And all those things come with, A, experience, but also just getting in the book and grinding on that and knowing. So now I think he's going to be one of those guys that with a bigger role and bigger responsibility, it's going to force him to react and force him to now move into a position where he can really help this football team, because reality is the opportunity is there. And in the NFL, as you know, once you get that opportunity, it doesn't come around very often, so you got to seize it. And I think this is his perfect chance in training camp with an aging Terrence Newman, everything else going on the back end, that this is his shot. And it's a big role for him, especially in this defense with Zim. So, and Shamar, I mean, Shamar's one of those guys that you're not going to look to and be like, okay, he's got like, you know, Sharif Floyd or like elite talent. He's not going to go run like the fastest 40 for a D tackle or like maybe even be the strongest, although he's very strong. He's just one of those guys that gets the job done consistently. Every day in practice, every game, he's going to be in the right place. He's going to do his job. He's going to be the first one to get his hands in the center and make sure and kind of take the defense to the offense and make them make a decision in the run game. Playing behind him last year was a pleasure, to be honest with you, because he knows what he's doing. He knows he studies the game, so he knows if a motion stops on my right side, they're going to run this play. He really is a heady player. And I think that helps him even on the interior of the D-line.
You're not in the room, but you know the guy. So I've been told Anthony Barr is responding well to, quote, hard coaching, end quote. What, I mean, for either of you guys, what do you think that means?
Well, I just think that, you know, Anthony's been one of these guys. He's so talented. He's got perfect size, you know, can run. He's got the great weight. He can play and do all these different things. Now the reality is, can he come in and sort of continue to push himself? He's been to back-to-back Pro Bowls as a young player. He's had some success. He's also had some times when people have looked at him and said, well, you know, the word coasting was used. Well, the reality is he needs to use that as motivation. He has to develop that chip on his shoulder and say, you know what, I'm going to go out and prove to these guys I'm an elite player.
Yeah.
And not just do it one time, right, to go out and prove that he can be a late player over a season and really show what he can do. Because I think the reality is we haven't really seen how good Anthony can be. And I think as now fans and former teammates, we want to see him accomplish that because he is a great kid. He works hard, and now he needs to go take it to the next level.
Well, I think we talk about this word and this buzzword so much with a variety of players, but because it's Anthony, we'll talk about him. It's consistency. I mean, I've come across in my time so many players that are talented that can go out there and do something really well, maybe better than anybody I've ever seen. And then they do it once, they do it twice, and they're like, look at me. You get patted on the back. You get respect from your teammates. And then you think you can do it all the time. But you forget how you got to that point.
Yep.
And you forget to go through the steps necessary to make that sort of play. And it seems like with Anthony that he's gotten by with being bigger and faster than stronger than everybody else.
Yep.
And he needs to go back and realize, all right, how did I get to this point to make that one play? I need to do that again.
Right.
And accomplishing some of the small things on a more consistent basis because, you know, I've watched him like you have, you know, from an all 22 perspective and see him blasting defensive line or offensive linemen as they're pulling and doing some of the dirty work that he never gets credit for. And I'm like, you got to keep doing that to become this great player because – that's part of being a linebacker.
Yep.
You can't just go out and get TFLs and sacks. Like,
yep.
You got to be a guy, the sacrificial lamb that you and I talk about and we talk about in the meeting rooms. Keep being that guy because that stuff gets recognized. That's when the offense turns on the tape and like, holy crap, who is this guy?
Yep.
Now offensive guards are like, I don't want to pull on this power because this guy's going to ear hole me and waylay me and I'm going to be a highlight film for him. So he has that ability. He just has to do it more consistently.
And I think the biggest thing from that perspective is there's got to be accountability within that defensive room, right? So you have obviously some veterans that have accomplished a lot of great things in there with Everson, and now you have Harrison and B-Rob. I mean, these guys have to hold each other accountable, not only in the linebacker room but as a defense. And when you have a guy like Anthony who's made tremendous plays, I mean, some of the freakish plays we've seen, now if he's not doing it all the time, he needs to be held accountable by other guys. And now he's a veteran, right? So there's a different standard now. I can remember thinking after, like, my third or fourth year, like, I'd have a couple good years in a row. Now it's like you talk about consistency. How can I improve that? Even if just slightly, how can I do something else? How can I change my game? How can I become a different player? How can I get better at taking on blocks or get better at making, you know, be more efficient tackler? And try to do it over and over and over and over again. And before you look back, and then it's been 7 or 8 years in a row of where you've sort of improved. And he needs to take that approach. And I haven't seen what he's done this offseason, but I certainly hope going through Mankato, he does a great job with that.
Was that something that was common, you know, maybe for you guys as young players in the career or guys that you played with in the first few years, just self-motivation being an issue? You know, when it comes to the level or quality of coaching, hard coaching for Anthony Barr, Mackenzie Alexander realizing where he's at and what he needs to do, Laquan Treadwell in the rookie season that he had and things he needs to improve on. Self-motivation, was that an issue or common that you saw with players you guys played with when you were in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, I think certain guys you'd see that had some unique abilities that would kind of get by with it, like we talked about, that didn't have that self-put, that, you know, push yourself in everything you do, right? Always pushing the guy next to you or finishing that sprint in the offseason as fast as you can go. Just doing those little things all the time, I think, is a big thing. And, you know, pretty soon those little things become a big deal, right? And even no matter how much talent you have, because in this league, everybody's talented to some degree.
Yeah.
Right? And no matter if you're more talented, like we've said all the time, you see a lot of talented guys come through that don't have 10, 11, 12-year careers because they can't do those little things right all the time and take their ego out of it.
Well, and I'll get on my – I've talked about this before, that this is my soapbox about the new CBA, and it seems like such an old man on the porch sort of approach. But, you know, I really think that consistency is built in practice. And as football players, we practice more than any other sports league. And I think there's some merit to that you need to go out and practice good habits during the offseason, during the mundane OTAs, going in the weight room in March and April when there is no practice but still – getting after it. There's a mindset that you can teach yourself that sometimes you need to practice about showing up at 7 a.m. and I'm going to show up ready to hit the weights. I'm going to show up motivated. I'm going to show up because I have to show up. I think the game is losing that because the new CBA allows these guys to have a long offseason. They don't come in until April. Everything's very short, very sweet. The strength and conditioning guys don't get their hands on them for very long. Then all of a sudden they go out to the field and look at this. It's the second week of June and they're done already.
Yeah.
So I really think that in the long run, the long term, guys like that need consistency and practice to build those good habits are going to be thrown out the window, and the game's going to suffer.
You agree with that, Chad?
100%. Yeah, the game in the offseason has changed, even in my tenure for sure, just how, you know, the amount of OTAs have changed, the amount of time you're spending in the building. The biggest thing now that I think has changed is how soon they go to the football field. You know, before we'd have a good month of an off-season program without touching the football field at all. It was simply about training and working out, being around the guys, but also pushing yourself in a different way. Now they're on the football field, I think, week one. I think they have some level of meeting room time week one, week two, or week three, whatever it is, they're out in the field. Well, right then you're cutting down your weight room time and the priority of the weight room and the things you can gain there, and now you're on the field, which is great. You're going about football, but you're not playing physical football. You're not really building that up. And you're not being able to come in here, like you said, and give yourself that edge and that mentality to come in and work in the off season when nobody's looking.
Linebacker U Radio from Winter Park, 9 to noon. And by the way, July 13th, Lieber and Greenway, 9 to noon, filling in for yours truly.
Yeah.
LBU Radio.
It's going to be absolutely
That's
nasty.
One of those days where I just get to put them on hot.
Oh, it's going to be lit.
Oh, yeah. You won't have to say a word.
Yeah, the kids say it's going to be lit.
I tell you what, it's going to be something, right? It'll be something. We'll see what that something is.
July 13th.
I don't know if it's going to be lit because I'm not even sure the right definition of the word lit.
No.
Well, wait, who sits in the captain's chair?
Lieber. Right.
Lieber.
Okay. Without question.
He's extended family member. He's family member. Greenway is extended family member for now.
Yeah. Twice removed.
Negotiating with Team Greenway for more inclusion, 9 to noon in the fan. Might as well sit down with Donald Trump.
Yeah, seriously.
So we're starting high are his two operative words.
It's an Odell Beckham level contract. Yeah. Waiting for that to come through.
Yeah,
first.
He had to go to Los Angeles to find himself. And
simple question. You want high quality radio or not?
Yeah. Well, yes, for sure. Got to pay high quality dollar. July 13th, LBU Radio. Now, I know Ben will be at some training camp practices. Will you come to any training camp practices and, like, watch one or two?
Yeah, I do. I do plan on coming down to
Sweet.
At least one.
Well, why I ask is because I brought it up with Ben, but I don't know if he has seen it. Yeah, I mean, maybe he's been here when I haven't been here, but there, without Adrian, there is a completely different look to the style of this running game. You guys are elite football minds. I'm not. It's not a full-out zone deal, but it's a slow wave weaving thing where it's predicated on design cutbacks. And I've just, after having seen Adrian here for so long with power running, vertical passing, West Coast offense, Adrian take ball, run ball, it's different with Dalvin Cook where it's predicated on design cutbacks. And I need elite football minds to see it to properly explain exactly what's happening.
Well, the biggest thing you're seeing, right, is you're seeing people get stretched out. So from a linebacker perspective, yeah, you need to have your D-line stay in their gaps. And that means stay in your gaps down the line as linemen are kind of running out and trying to create space,
yeah,
for the cutback. So from a linebacker's perspective, it gets tough because now all of a sudden is my nose in his gap. Now do I play the front side gap or the back side gap? You know, am I counting on that safety to come down in the box and take that extra gap? So now I have to make a decision. And I'm going off the running back, who clearly is faster at cutting than I am because I play linebacker and he plays running back.
Right.
So now I have to make a decision. Am I going to play the front side gap or the back side gap, all knowing that everybody in front of me has to be in their gap.
Yeah.
So it just there's more room for error across the board. I think it's
– For the defense.
For the defense.
Yeah.
Exactly. So they're just trying to create more error in the offense by just stretching it out and moving those lanes,
yeah,
and creating the cutback. And where the big hit, where the big runs are hitting – is the cutback lane almost every time. Look at Green Bay's run game. It's
right.
Very similar.
Yeah.
And every run they got against us, it was a big run, always wound back behind the nose tackle,
right,
or a three technique, and that space is created by them stretching out.
But you need a certain kind of back to do it, right?
Well, it seems like Cook is that guy. I mean, they said his number one attribute when he was at Florida State is his ability to hesitate and his ability to see the holes and then put his foot in the ground and get north and south. So it shouldn't be something that's new to him to read an offensive line, read the feel and the flow of the front seven defensively, and know when to put his foot in the ground and get north and south. You know, for, you know, a guy like Adrian, he was get the ball, get downhill as fast as you can. You know, if you ask Adrian to be patient, then hit it,
yeah,
it wasn't going to work. So
I think you could almost say this is a little bit more of a progressive run game in what you're seeing in today's NFL. You know, and it's probably something that came from the 50s.
Right.
But now as it comes back and cycles,
yeah,
through again, it's a little bit more of a progressive run,
really,
game from a downhill. We're going to run power. We're going to run lead. We're going to run, you know, draw. This,
yeah,
you know, we're going to kind of expand a little bit and let the running back make the decisions, right, and then hit it. The biggest thing is you put so much more pressure on the second level, and even the safeties coming down on the box to take the correct angle,
yeah,
to make that one-on-one tackle. And that's really where now, if you have the running back with the ability to do it,
yep,
can really take you to the next level. And you know, like just seeing him briefly, you know, he clearly has some juice, and he's gonna be good in that scheme, I think.
Hey, I mean, you've played against Washington several times. There have been times out here that I've seen it. It reminds me of Alfred Morris. Now, I'm hoping Dalvin Cook is markedly better than Alfred Morris. But you know what? Alfred made a good career for himself being mm-hmm. drafted in like the sixth or seventh round with this stretch design cutback thing, where Alfred is very good at doing that,
yep,
and very patient. And, you know, anytime you played the Redskins, do you remember stuff like that with him?
Oh, yeah, tough running game to defend. Just similar style that we play against Green Bay. I mean, it's just they can hit you with so many different looks, and then you let the running back make the decision. And, again, it puts so much pressure on the defense. So if we make a mistake, it's going to be an 8, 10-yard gain. And now to take the second level, the play-action passing game is going to fit right into that, right?
Yeah.
So now it's that long stretch, handoff. Well, now it's a fake, and now you have running backs or linebackers running full speed one direction to get back and cover the boot. You know, it's just something that goes hand-in-hand, and once they perfect that with the fakes with Sam, I mean, it could be a really dangerous thing.
Gridiron Gallup this weekend. Tell us more.
Yeah, Sunday morning, Gridiron Gallup. I think it's like our, I don't know, 11th maybe,
Lake
I guess.
Nokomis?
Lake Nokomis. Yeah, so Sunday morning, we have a kids' fun run, adult run at 9.
Uh-huh.
It's a 5K. It's something we've done. It's all around the family. It's to bring out your dad, enjoy the family in the morning. We'll have you out there by like 11. A ton of giveaways. You can pre-register at chadgreenway.org or show up and register day of. So we're looking for a huge event, and every dollar will go back to Minneapolis Park and Rec. So the thing is when you come, you're a part of it, whether you can't be there and run, but you want to come and donate. Everything's going to create a scholarship, you know, equipment, clean up fields, umpires, things for the Minneapolis Park and Rec, and we're going to create as many opportunities as we can for the kids.
ChadGreenway.org, right?
That's exactly right.
My man, good seeing you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks,
great
Bob.
Job. Yeah, good to see you.
Linebacker U Radio, same thing, July 13th, 9 to noon when I'm out. Final segment, 9 to noon from Winter Park after this.